Hello and welcome to yet another episode of It's Risky Business. Look at us with the timing. We're getting the timing right
that was smooth.
On that intro. We are a podcast that is focused and centered on pursuing your passions, taking risks, going after the things that you want to go after in life, and perhaps even making your side hustle your main hustle.
That's right.
Or, you know, just having a side hustle, really. It's just good to do some extra things, some things that make you happy that might not be your primary source of income, but could make you happy. Today, we're very excited because we have an amazing human being that is a professional in the field of Enneagrams. And it's something that for me is really new. And quite honestly, I never even heard about it until we had her on our own Creatives for Connection meeting, a virtual meeting that Amanda and I host, and is a supporter of this show. And it just provided such a wealth of information in terms of understanding yourself, and not only in a professional level, obviously, but in a personal level, which is how you can ultimately gauge any action or core motivation, which is a phrase that I got from hearing our guest's own podcast.
Yes.
So Steph Baron Hall is a certified Enneagram coach and the author of the new book, The Enneagram in Love, a roadmap for building and strengthening romantic relationships. Steph founded her Instagram page at Nine Types Co. in 2017 as a way to explore her own interest in the Enneagram, and it has since grown into a community of people who are all learning about and tapping into personal growth through the Enneagram. Steph specializes in coaching entrepreneurs who are just starting out in their business or are at a crossroads and need to do a little inner work to find the path forward. Through all of her work, Steph focuses on making the Enneagram clear, relatable, and concise so that it can be transformative and accessible to all. Steph, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for that introduction.
Welcome on the show, Steph. We're super excited to dig into this today with you.
Yeah, me too.
And before we dive brain first into the wonderful world of Enneagrams, we'd like to hear a little more about you on a personal level, maybe perhaps some risks that you took in your own journey towards finding the Enneagram. I think that it's something so specific, and it begs the question, how did you yourself get into Enneagrams?
Sure. I've always been interested in human personality. So I like studied psychology in college. And then after that, I was actually working at an organization that had some really great personal development. So in college, I kind of used Myers-Briggs typology. And then later, I started using this other motivation-based typology called Total SDI, which is actually really popular in the corporate world. It's a really fascinating tool. But then I was introduced to the Enneagram. And I think the main thing that kind of drew me to both Total SDI and the Enneagram is kind of like what you just mentioned. It's motivation-based. So yeah. When you learn it for one context, you can use it for any of them. Kind of like you mentioned, there's always been a side hustle, right? So right. I early on worked full time, and then I was like, you know what? I love flowers. I'm going to start a floral business. So I did wedding and event florals for a few years.
Oh, wow.
While working full time, which if anyone is really familiar with wedding and event florals, it's just literally crazy to try and do both.
Well, I actually and I'm sorry to cut you off, but you're my peeps because I have had a wedding video business for the past 7 years. So I know how heavy and how demanding that world can be.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because with video and flowers, I feel like, and same with photo and flowers, the work is mostly at opposite ends. Like for video, it's like the work is that weekend, obviously, but then the real work is editing and everything that comes after.
Right.
And for flowers, it's like all beforehand. So it's like the, obviously all the months of coordinating and hundreds of emails and stuff like that. But then, you know, 72 to 48 hours before the wedding, you're getting the product, you're putting it all together, you're doing everything. So I would just take days off of my full-time job and go and do this wedding event floral thing. And during that, in the meantime, I was learning about the Enneagram, you know? So I was doing my full-time job, I was doing wedding florals, and also learning about the Enneagram.
Wow.
So what I found was actually that part of the reason I stopped doing wedding florals is I reached a point of burnout. Mm-hmm. Basically, and I only realized that I was burning out because I knew my Enneagram type. Wow. Like I learned my Enneagram type and I was like, oh, this isn't a healthy space for me. So then once I stepped back from that, I was still working my full-time job. And after, you know, 6 or 8 months, I was like, all right, I need another side hustle. You know, I needed some other project.
Yeah.
So then 2017, I was like, you know what? I'll create some coffee mugs for each Enneagram type.
Oh.
And that is just how Nine Types Co. was started. So it started as like selling coffee mugs and kind of just blew up from there, really.
That is amazing.
That's such a great journey. And I feel like, and I think that during our Creatives for Connection meeting, you mentioned that you're a Libra.
Yeah.
Was that correct? I feel like, well, I'm also a Libra.
And me
Amanda's
too.
A Libra. I feel like we're all kindred spirits here because you... just everything that you've told me, we're people that like to make sure that we're busy, but not busy in a way that's not meaningful. And I mm-hmm. think that that's what's really great about your journey. And I love the whole coffee mugs and how you realized that you were burning out in the wedding florals business, because I got to that point myself with the wedding video business. And it's something that I didn't even realize until the pandemic hit. So.
Yeah, it's really, and it kind of sneaks up on you, you know, because it's easy to just think, if I just do one more thing, it'll be fine. But then it's like, it sneaks up on you. And you're like, oh, I'm not, this isn't the life that I want anymore.
Right. That's so interesting that by finding your type through that process and through that journey, you really discovered what the next steps would be. I'm curious, how long did it take you to find your type?
So I actually did the thing that I don't recommend that people do, but I just went online. I took like the eclectic energies test. It's just like the way that the website looks like it's from 1995. I mean, it's real old, you know, and everything, but I just took a free online test. And at first I was like, oh, I'm the achiever. Like, yes, I won. And then quickly I began, like once I actually started learning more about the Enneagram, I realized like, oh, I hate these things about my and that's actually, I feel like that's how you know your core type, right? Is like you see all the negative sides of it and then you're like, oh no.
Yeah. And I've heard you mention that a couple of times and it's actually helping me on my journey to discover my type, because I thought, and I know I misspoke or misunderstood the whole system really initially, where I thought your core type does change, which it now I understand it doesn't, mm-hmm. thanks to you and mm-hmm. trying to really navigate all of the different types and narrow down. But, and I think you've mentioned that a couple of times, that actually by focusing on the downfalls or the weaker sides of each type will help us discover what type we are.
Yeah. And so for my core type, type three, one of the things I really used to hate about it and then learning to like practice more self-acceptance is tendency to shapeshift and like kind mm-hmm. of be who I need to be in a room. But it's also the other thing that I used to love, but now I realize isn't very supportive for me, is the tendency to pack my schedule.
Mm.
So those two things have really, those are the things that I have to work through, you know?
In terms of getting into the Enneagram a little bit, what I love in episode 3 of your podcast is when you start talking about core motivation and how it is the underlying mechanism of the way that we might take a particular course of action, which is different from behavior. And what's most interesting to me and also scary is that most of us might not even know what that core motivation is. And something that I found for myself is that I resonate most with the type three, which is the mm-hmm. performer. The performer is someone who is adaptable and concerned with success, but also image and appearance. And threes tend to avoid encountering emotion and have a harder time understanding their own identity. So that's something that I've recently became aware of in terms of how I process emotion and how I avoid it, really.
Yeah. And it's just because we love that efficiency, right? So type threes, we love efficiency. And we think that if we avoid our emotions, then we'll be more efficient because our emotions can't slow us down.
Mm-hmm.
So what we don't realize is often we're having a less full experience of life because we're not allowing ourselves to actually engage in our emotional experience.
Wow.
Yeah. And so Amanda, how you were having trouble with yours?
Yeah. I think I'm somewhere around a 6 or a 9. The more I'm listening and stuff, I listened to episode 3, probably 3 times of yours, cause it was so valuable, and re-listened to, the talk that you had with us with Creatives for Connection. I think I'm more on the side of 6. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually really, generally speaking, I don't enjoy like the unknown, but I'm enjoying the mystery of this unknown for me and really digging in and learning more. So it's been an interesting process. But I think what I also understand from your podcast and what you've shared is that 3s, 6s, and 9s, one can confuse themselves for any one of those 3 types. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Like those types have a really hard time kind of landing on a type.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I'm somewhere around a 6 or a 9. And actually, I have your book and I've been reading through it. And so what I love about this book, it's got the Enneagram and Love. And what I love is that you can actually do kind of match up your type with anybody. This is really for romantic partners, but you can, I like, cause you can match it for like a teammate or a coworker. And so mm-hmm. I did the match for Sten and I, which were co-founders of the organization together. It says 3s and 6s are committed to causes they believe in. They share a lot of similar qualities and they make a great team.
Oh, well, there you go. Accurate. Accurate.
That's awesome. So you are leaning more towards type 6 then?
I believe so, yes.
So one of the really interesting things, every type has like a pattern that they move in based on like when they're stressed and when they're like feeling secure and growing. Basically what that means is it's kind of like a set pattern. It's not like, oh, I feel like I'm like this when I'm growing. It's more so like a system. It's part of the way the Enneagram system works.
Oh, interesting.
So 3s, when they're feeling really secure, they actually harness more type 6 energy. So they become a lot more committed to where they are, don't feel the need to jump to the next thing. And when 3s are stressed, they move to 9. So, or they take on more characteristics of type 9. So that could be in a positive way. They might pause and gather all the information before moving forward and get consensus. Or in a negative way, that might be they become aimless and apathetic, tired, and neglect their own well-being because they basically hit a wall.
Wow. Yeah, that holds up. That makes a lot of sense.
So then type 6, what's interesting, and this is, I think, why a lot of people have a harder time with determining if they're a 6 or a 9, because 6s, when they're stressed, they, on the positive side, they can get like confidence and self-assurance from type 3. So they kind of harness more type 3 energy so they can move forward without second guessing. But, or they could actually become stressed and become so focused on productivity that they begin to kind of spin out because they start overthinking everything.
Mm. Yes.
And then 6s, when they're feeling secure and growing, they take on more type 9 characteristics. So that would normally look like they see various sides to everything, but in a way that brings peace and freedom. Because, you know, both 6s and 9s see various sides to everything, but 6s do it more in a way to troubleshoot.
Yeah.
Whereas 9s do it more in a way to keep the peace, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we just found my type. No, that's great. No, that really, really does clarify it. And it's fascinating. This diagram or the nine prong, you know, system here, it's fascinating how it all connects together, and the whole history behind the discovery of this is just wonderful to know. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting. Your level of expertise and the ways that you see all the connections occur is pretty incredible.
Which of the types would you say are the risk takers?
I think the natural risk takers are typically types 3, 7, and 8. That goes back to like the risk taking, you know, that you're talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us do what we are raised to believe we're supposed to do. But even talking about, you know, my business in particular, are you guys familiar with the poet Mary Oliver?
Yeah.
So a little over a year ago is when I left my last like full-time like W-2 type job, you know? Mm-hmm. She has this poem that talks about like, what will you do with this one wild and precious life? And it's kind of like what you were just talking about, Sten, where it's like, you know what? Like, what will I do with this one life that I have? Will I continue to just like kind of waste away doing something that I'm is only for survival? Or will I try and go out on my own and do something that I'm actually, that I actually care about, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Something that feels meaningful to you and is true mm-hmm. to you, which I think is the most important thing to think about. I mean, we're I feel like in terms of our careers and business and what we should do with our lives, we're just constantly being knocked around with other people's ideas of what we should do, especially when we're young. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. just can throw us off course completely from understanding what your own passion might be and what your place in the world can be. And yeah. I guess it might have been for you that moment where you were feeling burned out of the wedding mm-hmm. florals career path, and that ultimately led you into where you are now, which is obviously just so much fulfilling place in life.
Yeah. I tend to be a bit of a risk taker, and not always, like, maybe it's like I take a half a risk, you know, like, you know, I tend to be someone who's like, you know, I'm going to do this big thing and I might not have all of the information yet, but I'm going to jump and, you know, dive into it.
Right.
But like I said, at the wedding florals, I never quit my full-time job. I was still doing that and doing the wedding florals. So, you know, I didn't even really give that a chance.
Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. But then I think just about, you know, when I was feeling, so to backtrack a little bit, I stopped wedding florals in about 2017. And then 6-8 months later is when I started my Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was still doing that up until summer 2019, Instagram, grad school, and working my full-time job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was just like, you know what? Something has to change. Like, and I was like, what is the minimum that I can make per month and still be able to survive, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm very fortunate, obviously, to have like a very supportive spouse who's along on this journey with me. But so we made some radical changes, and because I think it is that thing where just kind of deciding, like, is this all there is, and what else can we create? Like, if we can choose what our life is going to be like, what will we create?
I love that idea that you really, so you put your foot kind of halfway in to test the waters. Mm-hmm. Then you kind of assessed what the minimum is that you can make while you get it started if you were to take that risk and put your foot fully in. And then, as you said, you made some radical changes, which I would call that a pro tip for anybody who wants to turn
pro
their
tip. Pro got tip. A pro tip moment. Pro tip moment.
That wants to turn their side hustle into their full-time gig and fully step into to whatever game that they've envisioned for their life. It's you do have to take those radical steps and consider those minimums that you'll be able to survive, but you're going to live so much more fulfilled if you can just step all the way in.
I think the thing that stops a lot of people is they're like, well, I don't want my current quality of life to change. And I get that. Like, you know, nobody wants to be like, well, maybe I will go out once a week instead of four times a week or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, but obviously during a pandemic, everyone is changing that. But, you know, people say, I don't want my current quality of life to change. But what I think my husband and I realized is that when we were so busy, any of that extra money that we were bringing in often went to just like self-medicating, whether it was going out, whether it was like buying extra alcohol or shopping or whatever else, because we were so stressed that we didn't realize that we were actually spending more money than we needed to because
right.
we weren't feeling fulfilled in our wow. lives. You know?
That's so true. That's so true.
And I'll give an example in terms of experiences and going towards what might be more fulfilling in the long run. I grew up with this concept of traveling is expensive. I can't travel. But however, especially through college and after college, every weekend I'm at the bar and spending at minimum $100. And if you were to just save that money and plan yourself a trip, what you get from that trip is so much more fulfilling in the long run. And I started traveling more and avoiding certain weekend activities that and it was just for the moment and really wasn't fulfilling long term. So in terms of being able to make some sacrifices to pursue your side hustle, it's the same and how yeah. incredible it is to be able to for one, maybe make your side hustle your main hustle. And really feel like you're doing something that's true to you and fulfilling for your own life instead of just clocking in and out of a job that you really don't want to do.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. There's so much value in, I think, deciding what type of life you want to create. Like, and I've actually had friends, you know, say things like, I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this job so I can get this benefit so that I can do this thing. And that actually works for them because it's like it's about creating a life that they love. So I don't want to say that every 9-to-5 job is like that, but I think that a lot of us get caught on the ladder, like climbing the corporate ladder, you know,
right.
Because that's what we think we're supposed to do. And so I think there's just like this question of like, what else is there?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the huge risk is, on wondering what is out there and where you can apply yourself. It's risky business, as we say over here.
It's risky business. Well, and I think that it's important to mention that there are incredible jobs out there. There are organizations that you could become a part of and really flourish in. And I think that it's important to note that it's not about not having a 9-to-5. You know, there's amazing, amazing, amazing 9-to-5s. But I think that if you have a tiny little itch, a thought in you to do something different, to do something that you really love to do and that it can become your full-time hustle, that's where you really should not ignore that feeling, because then ultimately over time that just makes bitter people in the world, because you know they wake up one day and they're older and they realize that they didn't do anything that they wanted to do. So that's why, I mean, I'm kind of the complete opposite. Like I do too much. I have an idea and then I just go for it 1,000%, just kind of throw myself into it and then figure it out, which is great. And then sometimes it's not so great because it ends up being unsuccessful and just spending a lot of my time. But ultimately, I take lessons from and I learn. So.
Yes, that's a number 3 achiever in both of you, actually.
Yep.
And actually, if we're going to quickly go back to that, I think that if we're talking about core motivation, I believe it's a 3, but my perceived behavior is an 8. I feel like I perceive myself as an 8 because I don't want to care what people think about me. But if I'm honest, I think I care what people think about me.
You know? Yeah, each of them has like an emotion that is attached to it. So it's kind of like either they're underlying or they're kind of go-to emotion. So types 2, 3, and 4 are in the heart triad. So they really like have like a shame or sadness is kind of underlying. So they each do something different with it. So like 2s, for example, so that they don't feel shame, they will help everyone else and make sure that they are indispensable so that they don't feel like they're unwanted or unloved.
Yeah.
3s stay really busy so they don't ever have to feel it. And 4s kind of actually internalize it and they go deep inward and are searching for identity within. And then 5, 6, and 7 are in the head triad and they have like this underlying fear and anxiety. So 5s believe that if they have all the knowledge or all the information that they possibly can, that it'll calm their fear. 6s troubleshoot and plan and make sure that they have plans A through Z, you know, so they're always trying to think ahead to figure out what might happen so that they can have a plan for it so that they don't feel fearful or anxious. And then 7s run headlong into the future and like flee from fear and anxiety. They believe that if they find all the possibilities and opportunities that they won't feel that fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And then 8, 9, and 1 are in the anger or the body triad. So 8s confront their anger head on and just kind of like, it's kind of like an explosion and then it just fizzles.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9s self-forget. They really forget their anger in order to keep peace and feel peaceful within. So they kind of basically ignore it. They're asleep to it. And then 1s suppress it because they don't think it's appropriate to express anger.
Mm.
And so when you look at those that way, and that's why I think it's interesting that both of you guys were like looking at types in different triads. If you can look at it in that way through the lens of the intelligence centers, it actually can be really clarifying. So you can be like, oh, I'm definitely this type or I'm definitely more this type. You know?
Wow. Yeah.
And I guess that's how you dive deeper into understanding what perhaps might be the core motivation if you understand yourself on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, Amanda, for example, with you with type 6 and 9, maybe a lot of 9s aren't really familiar with their anger, but a lot of 6s are very familiar with the fear and anxiety.
Yeah, and I've had so many struggles along the way and I've certainly not done things right. But I think with me being a creative entrepreneur for so many years, that really was a catalyst for me to partner with Sten in our organization, Creatives for Connection, because I want to be very transparent about my journey and the fears and the struggles that I've had on my journey to help others walk through that. Because I understand that those fears and anxieties do exist for entrepreneurs, I think it makes me more empathetic to those that are beginning the process.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that that's why you and I were able to get Creatives for Connection going so seamlessly, because we were able to partner up on something that we both believe in,
yes,
with passion, and it just kind of came together. And I think that we work really well together. And I think that's part of the reason, because that's you do have that sixth type to be, you know, in creating long lasting relationships with people in terms of things that matter to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Well, Steph, I can't thank you enough for coming on and spending some time here with us on It's Risky Business. And tell our listeners can find you on the Instagram website, and you do some coaching. Tell us some stuff.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at @9typesco, all spelled out. And you can find me there. I post about communication and the Enneagram and basically everything you need to know to kind of go deeper into the Enneagram. I also have a podcast called Ask an Enneagram Coach. And so episode 3 of that podcast is where I kind of go in detail into each of the Enneagram types. It's like an hour long, but totally worth it, I think.
Totally worth it. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Yeah, no, it's super great. And actually that episode is called Enneagram Basics, Finding Your Type and the 9 Core Motivations. Great, great episode there.
And then also my website is just 9types.co. And basically through Instagram, you can access me for coaching. So we can do a typing session, basically where I kind of walk you through and ask you questions, have a conversation, help you find your type, your wing, your subtype. And then I also do coaching for individuals, and I also do coaching for teams to work out your communication or to figure out kind of what's standing in your way and help you navigate that based on your Enneagram type. So those are kind of my specializations. Yeah, I really enjoy talking with people and helping people to figure out, you know, what's next for them through working with their Enneagram type.
Fantastic. Well, you've really, for us as individuals and as a team and as an organization, you have really, really enlightened us and opened up the world here to really self-discovery and help us continue on this path of personal and professional development.
Yep. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Again for coming on with us. And as we come to the end of this show, I'd like to encourage anyone listening to take some risks, not only in the world of business, but in your own personal life, because there is an infinite amount of possibilities right outside your door. And it just starts with one step. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you. Have a great one.
You as well.
Bye-bye.